Welcome to the Old Langford History Podcast. I'm your host, Sue Harper. This episode is entitled Emily Carr, The Elephant, Woo, and the Great Cedars. Emily Carr, 1871 to 1945, was one of the first artists of national significance to emerge from the West Coast. She became, largely after her death, a leading figure in Canadian modern art in the 20th century, with her paintings of the wilderness and indigenous culture of the northwest coast of British Columbia. However, many don't know she actually wrote several extraordinary books about her life, where she traveled, and what she saw. As a child, and later as an adult, she spent a lot of time around Langford, in particular the Goldstream and Millstream areas. With her trailer called Elephant and animal companions, including Woo, her monkey, she recounted her days among the giant cedars and babbling streams. The following are her words describing the area during her lifetime, with context added. Emily Carr was born December 13, 1871, in Victoria, BC. She was the second youngest in a family of nine children. Her father, Richard Carr, was born in Kent, England, and her mother, Emily Saunders, was born in Oxfordshire, England. They had met in San Francisco during the Gold Rush, and after a return to England in 1855 to be married, they moved permanently to Victoria, British Columbia in 1863. In Victoria, Richard Carr was a wholesale merchant. He erected a building at 1107 Wharf Street in 1862, where he established his business. Carr also purchased land in James Bay and built their house on the property for a total cost of approximately $10,000, a large sum during that time. This family home at 207 Government Street is now a National Historic Site. It was in this house Emily Carr was born. When Emily was young, the family would take picnic trips out to Millstream in Langford. Millstream, or Millstream Creek, as it is often called, is the main waterway in a watershed that starts in the Golden Todd Range of the Highlands and includes seven lakes and numerous ponds. The stream flows into the waters of Price Bay in Esquimalt Harbor. Emily described one of her trips to Millstream as a young child. Father said, "What about a picnic on Saturday, Mother? We'll have the omnibus and go to Millstream." All week we stared at the clock, but for all she ticked, her hands stuck. It took ages for her to register even a minute. But Saturday did come at last, and with it, sharp at 10, the yellow bus. Pies and cakes, white wrapped and tucked into baskets like babies, the tea billy wrapped in a newspaper petticoat, all were loaded in, and we took our places and rattled away. The bus had two horses and carpet seats. Its wheels were iron-bound and made of a terrible racket over the stones. Only the very middle of our town was paved and sprinkled. Beyond the town was dust and bumps. At last, we drove through a gate and down a lane and stopped. The driver opened the door, and we all spilled out onto the grass beside a beautiful stream. As soon as lunch was over, Mother said, "Now, children, run along. Don't go into the thick woods. Keep by the stream." Downwards, the stream broadened into a meadow. Upstream, it bored a green tunnel through the forest, a tunnel crooked as a bedspring. It curled around and around because there were so many boulders, trees, and dams in the way. The sides of the tunnel were forest, the top overhanging trees, the floor racing water. We could not have squeezed into the woods had we tried, because they were so thick, and we could not have seen where to put our feet. Nor could we have seen over the top, because the undergrowth was so high. All kinds of mosses grew by the stream, tufty, flat, ferny, curly, green, yellow, and a whitish kind that was tipped with scarlet sealing wax. Yellow eyes of musk blossoms peeped from crannies. They had a thick, soft smell. The smell of the earth was rich. The pines and the cedars smelled spicy. The wind mixed all the smells in a great grand smell that made you love everything. There were immense sober pines whose tops you couldn't see, and little pines fluffed out ready to dance. The drooping boughs of the cedars formed a thatch so thick and tight that creatures could shelter under it, no matter how hard it rained. The bushes did not grow tight to the cedars, because it was too dry and dark under them. Even their own lower limbs were red-brown and the earth bare underneath. Sometimes a kingfisher screamed, or a squirrel scolded and made you jump. We were very, very far up the stream, though it had not seemed a long way at all, when our big sister came around the bend behind us. "Come, children," she called. "It's time to go home." We looked at each other. What did she mean, time to go home? We'd only just come. What was time anyway that things could play such tricks with it? A stream could squeeze a whole afternoon into 1 minute. A clock could spread the whole week into a whole year. She also remembered meeting the daughter of Captain Edward Langford. There was a childless couple with whom I was favorite, Mrs. Lewis and her husband, the sea captain. Mrs. Lewis had been Miss Mary Langford before her marriage. Her father was Captain Langford, a naval man. I'm not certain whether the Langfords ever actually lived in the fort or not, but they came to Victoria at the very beginning. Captain Langford built a log farmhouse 6 or 7 miles out of town. The district was named for him. Carr studied art in England and France and traveled extensively throughout coastal British Columbia and Alaska, inspired by First Nations people, art, and landscapes. In 1933, Carr, at the age of 62, bought a trailer and called it the Elephant. This would be her base for her stays at Goldstream. Carr had the Elephant towed to the Goldstream River Flats, and there she settled in for a lengthy visit. Getting ready, then came all the fixins, meat safe, dog boxes, and monkey-proof corner. And when she was heady, the hauler came. It wasn't her first trip. In September 1931, accompanied by Edith Hembroff, Edith remembers, we squeezed into a miniature ramshackle garage flush with the highway and had to walk a mile to the park, laden with art gear and tracked by panting griffin dogs and an indignant monkey. 18 kilometers from downtown Victoria, Goldstream is now a provincial park. It was the refuge of Emily Carr in her trailer with her animal companions. This old-growth temperate rainforest is where she developed her mature work. Most of Emily's beloved trees were here. Western red cedar, Douglas fir, western yew, red alder, broadleaf maple, western hemlock, arbutus, and the black cottonwood, as well as the moss, birds, and animals she loved. Mount Finlayson is on one side of us and a nameless sheer rocky cliff on the other. The Goldstream Flats are a narrow lowless where Goldstream babbles its way to the Saanich Inlet on Finlayson Arm. Everyone on the flats collected to see us unpack, the monkey, of course, being the center of attraction. I made up the beds and prepared supper. Black fell down among the great cedars before I was nearly out of the mess. Monkey is housed in a hollow cedar tree, cuddled into his very heart. Surely I've found her a hibernation she cannot wreck. She would have made matchwood of elephant. Carr had bought Woo, a poor little macaw baby monkey, in 1923 from the bird and pet shop on Government Street for $35 cash and a trade of one of her Brussels Griffin dogs from her breeding kennel. She continued to write about her experiences at Goldstream. There's a great peace under these magnificent cedars, and the endless water sings its endless sound, not a stone's throw off. It's wonderful to watch the joy of the pups playing tag among the cedars. There's a delicious little breeze humming along the leaves without bluster or vulgarity. Today, I love life, and so do the four dogs, the monkey, and the rat. Last night, I slipped into a nondescript garment and tumbled into the river. It was wonderful. I lay down on the stones and let the water ripple over me, clear, soft water that made the skin of you feel like something namelessly exquisite, even in my 60-year-old skin. When I had rubbed down and was between the sheets in the elephant's innards, I felt like $1 million, only much cleaner and sweeter and nicer. The precious pups were asleep all around. The rat Susie, Woo, just outside the window in her hollow cedar. The cedars and pines and river all whispered smoothly. And there was life, life, life in the black, soft darkness of the night. Go out there into the glory of the woods. See God in every particle of them expressing glory and strength and power, tenderness and protection. Know that they are God, expressing God made manifest. See God in it all. Enter into the life of trees. The woods are delightful in the rain, heavily veiled in mystery. They are delicious to all the senses, but most to the smell. An owl came and sat by my cedar beside the fire. How I love it when the wild creatures pal up that way. At times, Carr did find herself annoyed at the humans in the area. They started early this morning, the public. The air is riled up with motor snorts and children's screechings. Add to that the antics of Woo, her monkey, who consumed a green paint and had to be treated with Epsom salts. But despite those interruptions, her joy of the area was obvious. Oh, what a joy morning, sun blazing, the whole woods laughing, dogs hilarious. What a lucky devil to have elephant and browse among such surroundings. The monk in her warm dress sitting in the sun, replete with satisfaction. Susie, the rat's pink nose, keeps popping out from the front of my jacket. Susie's heaven is right under my chin. The immensity of the old trees, belonging to a different era, to the forest primeval. The individual mighty trees stagger me. Nothing stands alone. Each is only a part. A picture must be a portrayal of relationships. After living for an entire month in Elephant at Goldstream, Carr returned to Victoria. She described her return as to a two-story house with six rooms all to oneself. It is hard to settle down. The house feels stuffy and oppressive. Emily's last painting trip to Langford was in June 1939. She had had her first stroke in 1937, and her health was continuing to fail her. Her friends had found a cottage for rent on a 15-acre farm at the site of the old pawn house on Millstream Road, somewhere near what today would be, I think, Larkhill Road. Emily called the cottage Rat Hall, and a well-known photograph at BC Archives shows her sitting on the steps of Rat Hall with Flora Hamilton Burns. Emily Carr died on March 2, 1945, at St. Mary's Priory in Victoria, which is now the James Bay Inn. She is buried at Ross Bay Cemetery. The joy Carr felt when in the wilds of Langford was quite evident in her writings and paintings. Long before environmental concerns became a worldwide issue, her paintings also revealed the local landscape being impacted by large-scale logging and her anxiety over its loss. She described what she saw as those mighty arrow-straight monarchs long since chewed by steel teeth in the mighty mills, chewed into utility, nailed into houses, churches, telephone poles, all the woodsiness extracted, nothing remaining. I believe Carr would be happy to see that her beloved Goldstream has been saved from the steel blades of the chainsaw. But I also ask myself, what would Carr think of today's treatment of the forests and the natural environment? Thanks for listening to Emily Carr, The Elephant, Woo, and the Great Cedars. There'll be more episodes coming soon. If you're interested in the writings of Emily Carr, I highly recommend The Book of Small, published in 1942. In it, she describes her childhood in detail. Also, don't forget to check out the links in the episode's description, including show notes that includes photos, references, and more, just for a couple of bucks. Thanks again, and stay tuned for more from the Old Langford History Podcast.